So I'm sure you recall that I had a talk on no excuses. And I know that God is bringing it to us at this time for a purpose. So we'll be having a discussion on this. I remember several years ago, very many years ago, my father used to say something. He says, Tomo ya meji ba wonu yara, toba jade, toreni jade. Oni is likely follow tona wo genio. Oni bo toba wole, to jade frowning their faces or franking their faces. Which one is okay for you? Only they've gone to tell themselves the truth. And the interesting thing is that it is only the truth that can set you free. It's only the truth. But that truth that can set you free, it is always bitter. It's not pleasant to the flesh. It's always bitter. Something that is bitter, something that is not pleasant, something that is not good to the body, and it's the only thing that can open the gate to freedom for you. So this morning, we'll be telling ourselves the truth. No excuses. No excuses. But it's going to be an interaction. And interesting, I'm not sure I really prepared for no. Because interaction is like you didn't know what I was going to discuss. So I'm just going to kind of guide, direct, and then we'll arrive at a conclusion. So what does excuse mean? We need two mics, one here, one here. Yes. Excuse. You know, last week Tuesday, I was holding the mic for Pastor Boy Akinduko. The person with the mic has power.
Yeah.
Don't be afraid of anybody. The person with the mic has what? Power. Use your power wisely. What does excuse mean? And you have given it to the right person. My SAN.
Reason for doing or not doing something.
Thank you very much. Reason. Now, I want another definition before I go to the next one. Another definition. Reason for doing or not doing something, okay? Now, power is the use, so don't worry.
Let me say, you have the time to do something, but you also have reasons to say, I don't want to do it.
Okay.
That is excuses.
Okay, thank you very much, sir. Shegun, give somebody here. You are afraid of anybody. Give anybody. Don't be afraid.
Excuses. Why you give reason for not doing what you feel like doing it, but you decide. You give an excuse for it.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much. The next question is that, is there a difference between reason and excuse? Adeyemi. Is there a difference between excuse and reason? Barista mentioned reason. My sister also mentioned reason. But when you give a reason, you give an excuse. Is it the same thing?
No.
Okay, what's
not.
The difference?
Okay, I feel excuse is logical, is tenable. For instance,
excuse what?
Is tenable, is logical.
Excuse?
Reason rather.
Okay.
Reason is logical and it is tenable.
Okay.
For instance, maybe a flight was delayed and they come and say, the reason for delay is because there's bad weather. Of course, you don't expect that flight to go with the bad weather. So, but for excuse, I feel it's just a justification for an error. You're just trying to justify yourself. Or you're supposed to read for an exam, then you fail. Then you start saying, my roommate was making a lot of noises. That was why I was not able to read and all of that.
Thank you very much. Anybody with a contrary opinion? Huh? Barista, do you agree with that? Okay. Somebody wants to say something. Oh yeah, give her. Come on. Okay, you want to say something? Come on, give it to Mrs. Odesanya.
She has rightly said it, sir. But excuses are smoke screen.
They are what?
Smoke screen.
Can you explain that to us, please?
Smoke screen, you know, when you say smoke,
okay,
can it screen somebody? It cannot.
No.
So when you want to shield yourself and you put on a smoke screen, any wise person could see through you, and will know that you are just trying to hide yourself.
Okay.
So that is the nature of excuses.
Like,
a reason, of course, they are verifiable and they are logical.
Just like you are hiding behind one finger. Abi, that's what you are saying by you. Fantastic. Let's clap for everybody. Now the next question is, is there anybody here that does not give excuses? We're not talking about reasons now. Can I see your hand up? Is there anybody here that does not give excuses? Let me see your hand up. Dr. Adiribe, do you give excuses? Eh? You do sometimes. Henny, what about you? Ada, you give excuses. Aduke, do you give excuses? Sometimes or a lot? Eh? A lot of times. Ah, you are an English guru. So why do we give excuses? Let's go to that point. Why? Why do we give excuses? Please, Emma Binusa was told the mic, I have given them power and they are doing it very well. So, could you just give us one reason you give excuses? One.
Personal choice.
Eh?
For personal choices, that's why we give excuses.
Okay, can you explain that to us?
So, because excuse is actually a choice, and it's like you're trying to avoid something or you're trying to exonerate yourself from a particular thing, then you make the choice to give excuses.
Okay.
You can as well not give excuses and do what's expected of you.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Okay, Shagun, give somebody.
Good morning, church.
Good
when
morning.
It's not convenient for you, you can give excuses.
When it is not
convenient.
Okay.
When the situation is not convenient for you.
When the situation is not convenient.
Yes, you can.
For you.
You can give excuses.
Okay. Do situations, are they really convenient to do certain things? If you are waiting for, well, you are right. You are very right. I mean, we are asking for why you give excuses. So you are extremely right when it is not convenient for you. You are right. Thank you. Yes, give it to doctor.
We give excuses when we are trying to shy away from probably the consequences of our action or the bad feelings that may want to come after doing or not doing some things. And you're trying to tell yourself that, I beg, I cannot come and go and kill myself. I have tried. So we make some excuses just to avoid maybe the consequences or the bad feelings that, maybe I should have done better, maybe I shouldn't have done this.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Any other person? I just need one more. Why you give excuses, okay?
Many times we give excuses for defense.
After you talk. Come again, ma.
We give excuses for defense. We want to defend ourselves.
Okay.
We give excuses
how?
As a defense mechanism.
Okay.
To cover up for what I have not done or what I have done.
Okay. Thank you very much. Yes?
When we don't want to be responsible,
thank you very much.
We give excuses when we don't want to suffer consequences of our actions or inactions. Those are the reasons. When we don't want to feel responsible, when we want to shy away.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Prof, yes, sir.
Excuses could be genuine. We can give genuine excuse. and then we have excuses that are not genuine. Reason can be genuine. Reason may not be genuine.
Okay.
So excuse is not only in the context of bad things. It could be in the context of some good things too.
And you see, that's why we said when you give an excuse that is genuine, it becomes a reason. It becomes a reason. But when it's an excuse, it's a justification for not doing what you are meant to do. You are just trying to help yourself. But when it's an excuse that is genuine, it becomes a reason. Oh, the reason I did not do this is that. But when it's an excuse is normally negative. Negative, yes.
People give excuses based on priorities, their priorities. If you have a scale of preference, you will rather let go of the less things, the things that you feel they are not so important, and you go for the more important ones. So when you have something you've prioritized, you always go for it at the expense of the less important ones. Thank you.
That could also be a reason. It could also be a reason. Pastor, do you want to say something? Okay. Now, I remember on that day, I quoted this verse of the Bible. 2 Kings chapter 3, verse 16. And I want to read the KJV version. And he said, "Thus saith the Lord, make this valley full of ditches." Make this valley full of ditches. And I think I explained that verse of the Bible by saying that the Lord wants us to prepare. The Lord wants us to get ready. The next verse says that you will not see wind, you will not see rain. He said, but the valley will be filled with what? Water. It means he's saying that I will bless you. I will open doors unto you. I will open the windows of heaven unto you. But he says, dig the ditches. Prepare. Be ready for my blessings. Now, that's the problem I have. Excuses. Between then and now, what have I done? What have you done? In terms of your career, in terms of business, in terms of your salvation, in terms of your commitment in church. What have you done? What have I done? Let me give you a little example. Week in, week out, we discuss inviting people to church. My people, is it good or not? What do you feel about it? Mrs. Adesanya? It's good. What do you feel about it? Is it good or not? My president, what do you feel about it? Now, let us discuss in the next 5 minutes. Why have you not done it? What is the excuse? 5 minutes. Because we have other things to discuss. Why have we not done it? Inviting people to church. You know, people come here and say that God will add on to us. Almighty God. Yes, God can add on to us. But God will The Bible says Paul planted. Eh? What does Apollo do? What does he do? He waters and does. God gives the increase. Can God give increase on what has not been planted? No. No. Plant, water, expect the increase of God. God is not a magician. So when people come and say, God will add on to us, I just smile. I say, no, you got to do what we got to do. So in the next few minutes, let's discuss it. Why is it a challenge? What is the excuse? What's the excuse? Over to you. We'll discuss in the next 5-7 minutes. Yes.
Okay, my take is, because I was going to discuss that earlier, is that most of us still remain baby Christians, though we come to church.
Fantastic excuse. Baby Christians, though we come to church. Okay. What? Because everybody's guilty, including me. And Pastor Diako, and Pastor Akinuko. We are all guilty. And my president, and Dr. Chairman, that you know was okay, that she's guilty. So what is the excuse? Oh yeah, my president.
This is a tough one, sir.
Yes.
It's also because we are not really, we had it. We know it's good, and we know it's something that must be done. But you see, some of us are still in that, to take that inertia, to break that shell, to go that extra mile and, you know, getting that close person living close to us and inviting him. Even if you have to go and carry him or her in his house and follow us, then you begin to imagine all the complexities involved. And then before you know it, that thing they call irreversible, then, you know, try to come in and you don't really, you know, you are not able to make up. But you always say, okay, next week I will do it. And next week come, you don't.
Next
and
week
say, another
come.
Week.
Next week, okay, day.
No, yes, that's what I
do. Good day.
Good day.
Good day. Just like exactly. Tomorrow never comes. So. How does tomorrow come? Eh? By the time you are getting to tomorrow, tomorrow has moved again to tomorrow. So it doesn't come. Thank you, my brother.
Nice.
Yes, I want us to. Thank you, yes. Then, Mrs. Dr. Mrs. Bajide.
Okay, my own take is that I like being realistic. Most of us are too busy. When we leave church, our mind has gone somewhere else. Some of us are thinking about businesses and all that. I may not even remember to invite people to church. So I feel our minds are too busy on other things. So,
thank you very much. That's a very good excuse. Our lives are too busy. You know, and the truth of it is that a chunk of our time is spent on Facebook and Instagram. A chunk of our time is spent on frivolities. The things that do not matter. Thank you very much. Yes.
Hello,
Dr.
sir.
Mrs.
Praise the Lord.
After Dr.
Thank you very much, sir.
Yes.
Thank you for my own experience. I would say it's in twofold. The first one is our circle of friends. If I want to invite anybody, I'll look at people that are very close to me. Of course, we've had different programs in this church that want to invite people that I know. But in my office, for instance, I happen to maybe have so many people under me as a head of division, but two or three people that I could invite. Most of them are Christians, for one. Then there are some that are Muslim, and of course, they are favorable unto me. Our auntie will say this, and they will go. But one lives at Olorunda, which is after Akobo. Most times I invite her, she will not tell auntie, but how will I make it? I want to come. But from Akobo, I have 4 children. How am I going to do it? Navigate through. Okay, I'll not be looking for any church that is very close to the. That is my own. I have 3 of them like that. One lives at Monia. Fine. Then when you now go out, I think what we can help, let's look at what can help. If we can have a day to go out, that's one I've seen that helps a lot. If you can have, personally, I may want to go out, but being alone, I'm not that kind. I don't know, maybe I don't have that big courage, because my son had that courage.
My son, my first son, if it's somebody that way, Lawani, he will go and meet him and talk. Hey, hey, I will say, how will I go and speak to somebody that is that level? But yeah, we'll go and meet the person and start from somewhere, and they'll start friends. I say, Father, Lord, give me that kind of courage or boldness. Me, I want to see somebody that I've been, maybe I've maintained a relationship with to a level, and I say, okay, please come to my church. But seeing you for the first time, being a staunch Muslim, and I don't want somebody that will just be changing church. Most people that I invite for so many of your programs, they are Christians in some other churches. We are not working like that, poaching. Let's go to people that are unchurched at the first level. If I want to go to somebody that's unchurched, I have to maintain a relationship with that kind of person before I can say, okay, please follow me. And it is what they see in you that they will follow you. I've experienced that before, but because I had an argument with that person, and the way I settled that argument, he said, I want to know your church. That was how the person went to me. So I think it's a sort of a relationship that is built. A circle of friends, number one. If you have people that are, maybe people that go to golf clubs, that go to Rotary, they have an advantage. Me, I don't socialize to that level. I only have my professional body. And there too, it is forbidden that I'll start taking the mic and I start inviting them. But I do that if you have programs. I will post it on that. We have 800 or 900 in my group, and I'm at the group admin. I will post the program there, fine. Some of them will come. But there are some things that I cannot just say when I preside over a meeting and I tell them that, okay, I want to invite. It's not allowed. I don't want them to fire me for unethical practices, for instance.
Thank you very much.
It's relationship that matters the most. If you can build it over, or maybe the boldness, like I said, I don't have that much. I pray for that boldness to that level that I can just see somebody on the road too and start conversing, start inviting and start talking to you. That's just my tips.
Thank you. Very, 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 very good excuse. Boldness. But I can assure you that it's also an excuse. It's a very good excuse. Maybe there are some good excuses. There are some excuses that are very bad. You know. Is Bukumi in the house? Bukumi, is she around today? I've not seen her today. I don't think she's in the house. Bukumi is a lady that walked on the street of my gym. And there are quite a number of people walk on that street. And I don't know them. I don't know. When I'm walking on the street, they're going to work. So I don't know them, no relationship with them, but I invite them to church. I invited Bukumi, she came here. The next time she came here, we were at Ijokodo, and then she just came and she called me and said she came to church and they said there was no church. You know, Bukumi was somebody that attends Methodist, but maybe in her mind she's been thinking of a church. She wants to change her church. So even the people that you think that are going to churches, they might be thinking that I need a new lease of life. I did not know. I just invited her to church. But today, she attends this church very committed, and she's in the ushery. So what am I saying in essence? My brother, quickly.
Oh, hello. In addition to what you have said, sir, there's a thin line between excuses and reasons, depending on your perception of what reason or what excuse wants to translate to reason. She talked for this church. I'll use myself as an example. This is seen. The perception people have of this church is like it's an elite church. I've been to other churches before I was transferred here from Ogbomosho. When I was in Ogbomosho, I was going to a CAC church. But when I got here, I looked around for a CAC church. And then, by the time I got there, they had not started service. Somebody at your gate here introduced me and, invited me to come in. When I saw the hall, it's an unusual kind of hall. It's not exactly like the kind of warehouse hall as they build churches. So I sat by the gate there because I was wondering what you guys were doing. You know, it could be a cult. So I sat close to that place until praise and worship time came. There was a wonderful lady in charge of praise and worship. When I listened to how she handled the worship, I now felt comfortable. This must be a real church. So I came in. What I'm trying to say in effect is that unless people here show true love, raw, sacrificial love, to invite people and encourage them, because people study you a lot more. The content of your character matters before you can pull people in. So if you show deep commitment into loving them and showing them, so that they would not see this place as a class conscious place, you know, as a place for the elite, you got to come down to their level and make them understand that this is God's house. If they feel loved, then they would stay. But the environment itself is a little, you know, intimidating, because you see a lot of fancy cars there, and the people out there, you know, feel intimidated when they come into environments like this. So when you now come down to their level, show true love by the content, through the content of your character, then they would be encouraged to stay. In the area of these excuses and reason, somebody can always find a reason for not doing anything. I can always find a reason for whatever I don't want to do. You may call it an excuse. As far as I'm concerned, it's my reason. Take it or leave it. It is well, sir.
You are extremely right. You are extremely right. And this forum or this fora is not to judge anyone. But you see, the version that I read, I said, the Lord says, dig the ditches. Whether it is you, excuse for you, or reason for you, who will suffer it? Who will gain it? It's not me. When they say don't give excuses, and you are saying the excuse is your reason, the reason is your excuse, when the consequences are down, who will suffer? It is you, not me. So it is between you and your God. If you give an excuse and you say no, it's a reason. Huh? And you're trying to come and say it's a reason. You are the one that will suffer it too. It's not me. All we are saying is that let's be successful. There's no excuse for failure. Nobody should give excuse for failure. Mogba F9. You now say, my teacher was not good. There was no light in my class. I had malaria during exam. There's no excuse for failure. And when you succeed, they say, why are the reasons that you succeeded? I read something yesterday. Somebody said, I read 10 hours a day. I got first class. I read 10 hours a day. I got first class. Is it the father that we? She's the first beneficiary of the success. She is. But even this one we are talking about, the church or event, at the end of the day, who enjoys the benefit? Eh? You are the one. Because you are working for God. It's work, it's God's vineyard. You are the one doing the work. When you see the people that you will invite to church, you are happy. You are working for God. Now, quickly, we have 10 minutes to go. What is the solution? What is the way out? What do we do? You know, that day I gave a very good example. I said a scenario. I said, excuses is like a warehouse. You've stored the excuses in the warehouse. So it's there. You don't even think about them before you bring them out. In your Takiro, before you say, and see, we are being economical with English. Most times, excuse, irony, lie. L-I-E, lie. But we don't want to use the word lie. That's why we're using the word excuse. For instance, if I ask us, why don't we come for Bible study on Tuesday on Tuesdays, 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. Excuse my Lord from the warehouse. So how do we lock the warehouse? How do we lock the warehouse of excuses? You know, we have 9 minutes to go, and then Pastor Adeoko will come and do the prophetic declaration for 5 minutes. How do we lock? Come, give it to Ada. What do we do? No excuses. How can we be better people?
Okay, good morning. I think when it
just comes give us one to, point.
I think certain intentions.
Sorry?
Certain intentions.
Certain?
Yes, intentions. Being intentional about something.
Be intentional.
Yes, being intentional.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Be intentional. But the number one thing, before you talk, the number one thing I want us to discuss is, just like my brother said there, you must know that there's a problem somewhere. You must identify a problem. Because if you think that, just like you said, is there's a thin line between excuse and reasons. If you think an excuse is actually a reason, then there's no, you can't make amends. You can't make amends. First of all, you must know that there's a problem here. That's number one. That's number one. You must identify a problem here. You are in school, you don't study, you give excuse for studying, you must identify there's a problem. Between when I preach that message and now, what ditches have you dug? What are the holes that you've dug? If you have not, then there's a problem. There's an issue. Because the Lord will bless. The waters will fall. But where will it fall into? Where? We keep on giving. Take a money, get it one at that time. What did you learn here? Oh, yeah. Doctor.
Praise the Lord, church. The book of Luke 14, chapter 14, verse 15.
Please put the mic on you.
The book of Luke, chapter 14, verse 15, talks about the great supper, a parable that Jesus gave, where a man prepared a great feast and welcomed a lot of people, invited a lot of people, but they gave various excuses. And of course, someone said he just got a new field. Someone said he just newly married and got. Number one is, it's about priority. If you put God first, or you prioritize an activity or a task, you have a high probability of achieving the goal. It's about probability. Number two, for example, if you say, I want to bring in one person, and you prioritize it, and it's like a goal, and it's one of your main goals for that month or two, for some time, I'm sure there is a high possibility of achieving that goal. Number two is our lifestyle. If the lifestyle is a repellent lifestyle, you will never bring anybody to the church. If people see you as someone that gets angry easily, they are not living a godly life. The life is not just the one that is warming. I mean, that welcomes people. You will never. Even if we share 1,000 tracts, 1,000 invitation cards, and you keep saying, come to my church, and people know you are someone that is nothing to write home about. Nobody cares. They will not come. So, we should watch our lifestyle. Then number three, I want to say this.
You want to see all the points?
No, I just want to say this personal experience.
Okay.
I was at home like 3 or 4 days ago, and a friend of mine called me. He said, Deji, I want to come as from next month. I want to join your church. I didn't invite him directly. I didn't even talk about invitation because he's a Christian. He's more like an elder in his church. He said, I want to join your church. But I remember there was a day
we are like breeders, dog breeders. And I was telling him about my church. I said, I regretted going to so many churches before coming here. He was watching me because I'm someone that, I mean, I take my time to make my decisions. Even before coming here, I took my time. I knew the Covenant Church was just a good place. And I loved this place. So I told him my experience. We're just gisting. And I said, I regretted visit. I mean, my presence in some other churches in the past. And since I come here, there is peace. I'm always looking forward to the next service. We're just talking on several Christian matters. And that was all. He just called me 4 days ago and said, I want to be a part of your church. I was surprised and I told my wife, bro, poor man, so come very join. He said, eh? And I know he's a devoted Christian. So I think we should talk more about our church and talk about it as a good place to be. I mean, even in our gist, in our chat, I mean, we should present our church as a place that is worthy to be. May God help us.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. How many of you know Nwankwo Kanu? You know him. How many of you know Finidi George? What about J.J. Okocha? You know them. How many of you know Etim Essing? What's the difference between those four people? Huh? Where is Etim Essing today? Huh? You say what? It's what? It's gone. It's almost gone. And if you look at the talents of these people, Etim Essing was probably one of the best out of those four people I mentioned. He was probably one of the best. I'm sorry, the young people here might not know them. But look at J.J. Okocha today. Look at Finidi George today. Look at Kanu Nwankwo today. And that Etim Essing. Maybe he lives in a one-room apartment. Because when they were training, he was giving excuses. He was a tramp. Always going out, drinking beer, doing this, doing that. At the end of the day, like I said, you have the power to make your choices. You don't have the power of the consequences of your choices. You don't. But every choice has a consequence. That's why I developed something here some time ago. I said, consider consequence before choice. CCBC. Don't forget it. When you're making your excuses, consider consequence before your choice. What is the consequence of my choice? Consider it first. What is the consequence of this, my excuse? Consider it. When you consider the consequence, I can bet you that your choices might be different. You probably will not make those excuses. In the month of July, we are ending the month, but there's still a lot to go. No. N-O, capital N-O. No excuses. The Lord will bless us. In Jesus' name.